A boat washes ashore on a remote Australian island, carrying a dead man and a crying infant. For most of us, the choice would be clear: report it immediately. But what if you just buried your third stillborn child? What if you lived 100 miles from civilization, where quarterly supply boats were your only connection to the outside world? What if this baby felt like an answer to prayers whispered into the vast, indifferent ocean? M.L. Stedman's debut novel plunges us into this moral whirlpool, where the distance between right and wrong becomes as impossible to measure as the horizon between two oceans. Tom Sherburne returns from the Great War seeking silence and solitude. The lighthouse keeper position on Janus Rock offers both. Named for the Roman god who gazes simultaneously backward and forward, this isolated outcrop becomes Tom's refuge from memories of trenches and buried comrades. The lighthouse rises 130 feet, housing a magnificent lens described as a beehive made from glass, a palace of prisms requiring meticulous maintenance. Tom finds purpose in the routine, extinguishing the light at dawn, recording weather patterns, ensuring the giant lens rotates perfectly through each night. The isolation cuts both ways. Standing on the gallery, Tom experiences moments where he had no edges, merging with the vastness of sky and sea, a stark contrast to war's claustrophobic horrors. Yet this remoteness creates a dangerous bubble where societal rules feel distant and abstract. When that fateful boat arrives, the mainland and its laws seem irrelevant compared to the immediate, visceral need of a crying infant. The lighthouse, that promised sanctuary, becomes the setting for a choice that will haunt everyone involved. The Great War transforms Point Partagas from a town where real things happened elsewhere into one that discovered it had something the world wanted: young, fit men. Isabel's brothers Hugh and Alfie died within a day of each other. A bureaucratic mix-up with their service numbers meant the family initially received incorrect information about which son had fallen first. Their mother, Violet, obsessively tidies their frozen-in-time bedrooms, while their father, Bill, withdraws into silence. Isabel suffers 3 miscarriages, each loss compounding her desperation. When she tells Tom that Lucy has opened corners of your heart that life had shut down, she's speaking of healing from multiple traumas. The novel reveals how grief distorts moral compasses. Isabel's pain makes her willing to ignore the ethics of keeping Lucy, while the town's wartime hatred drove them to chase German baker Frank Roenfeld and his baby into the sea. In both cases, suffering leads to devastating choices. Ralph's Wisdom captures the novel's central dilemma. Right and wrong can be like bloody snakes, so tangled up that you can't tell which is which until you've shot them both. The decision to keep Lucy unfolds gradually. Isabel persuades Tom to wait until morning, then to keep the baby temporarily, and finally to claim her as their own. Each step seems reasonable, framed as love. I'm suggesting kindness, that's all. Love for a baby. That we accept this gift that's been sent to us. The novel refuses simple judgments. Isabel isn't villainous, she's a grieving mother seeking happiness. Tom isn't weak, he's a loving husband trying to heal his wife's wounds. Yet moral compromises exact their price. The blank space in the logbook for April 27th haunts Tom like a physical wound, a visible representation of erased truth. When he meets Hannah and witnesses her suffering, he cannot escape knowing their happiness costs another's grief. Hannah faces an impossible choice: demand justice against those who stole her child, even if it traumatizes Grace. Her decision to show mercy demonstrates that sometimes there are no perfect solutions, only less painful ones. What makes someone a mother? Isabel nurtured Lucy from infancy, responding to her cries, teaching her words, loving her unconditionally. Her body even cooperated. Breasts still producing milk after her stillbirth allowed her to nurse the baby immediately. She knows Lucy's preferences intimately. Stories about animals, but not giants, the specific blanket for sleep, the fear of thunder. Hannah gave birth to Grace and spent years grieving, never abandoning hope. The biological connection is undeniable, evident in physical resemblances that emerge as the child grows. The child's identity becomes contested territory. She initially rejects the change, insisting, "I'm not Grace, I'm Lucy." When she returns as an adult, she has integrated both aspects of her history, acknowledging both sets of parents informing who she has become. Her hyphenated name, Lucy-Grace, symbolizes this integration. She is both the child raised by Tom and Isabel and the daughter of Hannah and Frank, proving that identity isn't fixed but fluid. Light and darkness form the narrative's central symbols. The lighthouse represents moral clarity in an ambiguous world. Tom's dedication to keeping it burning reflects his fundamental decency despite compromised choices. Its beam reaching beyond the horizon shows how present actions cast long shadows into unseen distances. The child embodies this duality. Isabel names her Lucy, Light, seeing her as divine illumination after devastating losses. Her original name, Grace, means divine mercy. Together, these names capture the child as both blessing and burden, illumination and shadow. Water represents both separation and connection. Vast oceans create the isolation, enabling Tom and Isabel's deception, yet water also connects, the boat bringing Lucy to them, the passages eventually returning her to Hannah. The title captures this symbolism masterfully. Janice Rock stands where two oceans meet, its lighthouse illuminating this division, a powerful metaphor for the moral territory characters navigate. Like the lighthouse keeper maintaining his vigil, they must find their way through competing forces, seeking moral light amid emotional and ethical darkness.
Frank Rohnfeldt's wisdom guides Hannah toward healing. You only have to forgive once. To resent, you have to do it all day, every day. Tom's redemption begins with shouldering all blame to protect Isabel. His letter captures their love. "To have met you when I thought life was over and been loved by you, if I lived another 100 years, I couldn't ask for better than that." Hannah's forgiveness proved most transformative. After initially seeking severe punishment, she speaks in Tom's defense, choosing mercy because Frank would have been the first one to forgive you. Tom articulates the path forward. "To have any kind of a future, you've got to give up hope of ever changing your past." The final chapter reveals long-term healing. Lucy Grace returns as an adult with her own child, expressing gratitude rather than resentment. Tom's reflection captures the novel's philosophy. Where he is now is all a matter of choices he has made, and he accepts that. In a world demanding clear moral boundaries, this story reminds us that life's most wrenching decisions rarely offer clean choices. Sometimes we navigate by the faintest light, making choices that haunt us, driven by love that feels like both salvation and damnation. Like Tom at his post, we must maintain our own inner light, trusting that forgiveness offers the only true passage home.